Talking today with our junior senator from the state of Oklahoma, Senator James Lankford. Senator, let's talk about a couple of things. One is you had an interesting bill that you were promoting here in recent days, looking at how the federal government handles the lands that they own and the fact that they, a lot of times, are very poor stewards of the land.
And that is one of the key areas I try to promote, is that the federal government is a terrible landlord. We don't take good care of the land that we have. We're not maintaining it well. So you've got federal ownership and federal control of land, but not federal maintenance and care for that land. That's something, when it's in private hands, those private owners take very good care of their land and are very engaged in it. The federal government is not, because it's distant, it's far away, and it's just one piece on an inventory. The piece called the Land and Water Conservation Fund. This has been around for a long time. They take offshore oil revenue, and they use it to buy up land, often connected to national parks and other things. The problem is there's an $18 billion backlog on maintenance on the land that the federal government actually owns and manages. So what I did was very simple. I brought an amendment up to say any land that we purchase, at least half of that money has to be set aside for maintenance until we can get this maintenance backlog taken care of. And it seems very common sense to say we're going to take care of what we own rather than just continuing to buy more and not take care of any of it.
Did it surprise you that the vote was that much against you?
Yeah, it did surprise me. Oh, we had 2/3 of the body basically said, no, we just want to continue to buy more land, not maintain what we actually have. And I had some people that came up to me after the vote was over and said, well, let's just allocate more funds and appropriate more dollars to manage it. And I laughed and said, you know as well as I do, that's not going to happen. When we talk about the priorities between national defense and all the other things we got with Social Security and Medicare, we will always prioritize those things, and our land will be the last thing. So our best bet is to be able to actually set aside the funds, it's the purchase of land, to actually maintain the land, and that failed this time. But I'll come back at it again and continue to press on that in the days ahead.
Couple of things I know that some of your agricultural groups have probably talked with you about. One is trade, and Trade Promotion Authority, of course, is approved, but TPP comes under that particular heading. You know, any hope from what you're seeing of it being voted on this year?
Very little hope that it'll be voted on before November. Certainly, there's no calendar time set aside for it to be able to talk about it. November and December will be its own crazy time with a lame duck president that's leaving out in the months ahead, with a House and a Senate that are in transition. That is the only moment it could be even addressed. Whether it will be addressed in that time period, I can't tell at this point. Quite frankly, the president's lost all enthusiasm for the trade issues, and all of the major presidential candidates all are talking bad about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So that will make it very toxic in the transitions as well. So the key thing that's got to happen is we are an economy that's built on trade. We have great agricultural products that the rest of the world wants. We have a big fight over a very strong dollar right now and trying to be competitive in the world market on that. When we have trade barriers on top of a strong dollar, it makes it even tougher.
Your thoughts on TPP specifically?
Yeah, I'm still working through it, actually, all the final details. The nice thing about it is we've had several months to be able to go through bits and pieces. There are several things, especially in the agricultural area, that are very, very strong for us, that help us tremendously in bringing down those barriers. And the thing that most of the folks in the ag community know very well, these individual nations, we already have most of them trade agreements with that are very, very strong. This puts us into a trade network, basically throughout Asia and through that Pacific Rim, to be able to make sure that we have this consistent policy country to country. So it's a positive thing, most of it. There are some problem areas, but it helps us not only in agriculture, but in things like pharmaceuticals and protecting patents, whether it's a patent for a seed or whether it's a patent for a pharmaceutical or other things. It's very important to be able to maintain that control. And where an American has done the research on it, the benefit still comes back to America.
The GMO issue. Senator Roberts, of course, is trying to cut a deal with his ranking minority member, Ms. Stabenow. Lots of concern out in the countryside that if the Senate does not act, that we could have just a lot of chaos over exactly what sort of a label will be in various states.
That is a big challenge when you get to GMO. It's individual labeling. If every state decides they're going to do a little bit different, it raises the prices on the marketing side. It makes it more difficult, and quite frankly, it puts a lot of pressure on the actual growers and the producers, because then they're going to be pressed down for pricing because people are going to have a more competitive price. So there are a lot of things that are at stake in this. The basic thing is the science is already settled. EPA, USDA, FDA have all gone through this for decades and have evaluated these are all safe. We've used these products for a very long time. There are some that are growing more and more uncomfortable. Quite frankly, the Europeans are the ones that are driving this and are pushing it towards the United States, with Germany completely banning GMOs in their country, which I think in the days ahead, they're going to regret that. They're going to turn that around and say that didn't work because we can't feed our people. The group that it hits the hardest are those with fixed incomes and those that are in poverty, by far, because it raises the price of basic commodities to a price that's unachievable for most folks that are in poverty. And so it limits them in that sense. So I would say let's continue to go back to the same thing we've talked about before. Don't ignore the science. Continue to focus in on, has this been tested? Has this been evaluated? Do we trust the science on it? Yes, we do. And then to be able to press on, what's the best way to be able to label, whether it be a national label or just not do it at all. Let's just find a way that's consistent.
Finally, the final days of the Obama presidency are upon us now. Are we going to see a final flush or just a whole flood of regulations, you think, coming from some of their regulatory agencies like EPA?
Yeah, no, I don't think we will. We will definitely see a flood of regulations in the days ahead. We've already seen it. It's coming from the Department of Labor, from EPA, over and over again from different agencies and entities. They're trying to create the final regulations to be able to cram down. Now, some of that will slow down this fall. Right now, what the administration is dealing with is an old law called the Congressional Review Act. The Congressional Review Act allows the House and the Senate on a fast-track means to be able to overturn a regulation and prevent the agency from repromulgating that rule. But it only works one time every 8 years and only for 6 months. As odd as that sounds, it's a powerful law to get rid of regulation, but it only works from basically the middle of June of a president's lame duck time period until January, February, August. You won't get that far. January, February, probably March, April of the new presidency. If any regulation is promulgated during the final months of a president, it can be kicked out in the first months of the next president with very rapid methods. So the president's trying to get as many regulations as he can and get it done and in place before June. If it gets to June of this year, then it's going to be tough to be able to hold those. And it'll be, so I think it'll be smaller regulations he'll put in at the end of the year, but there'll still be a lot coming.
As far as the political landscape is concerned, are you concerned about the presidential process at this point in the GOP?
Yeah, the people are going to pick who the people are going to pick. That's just the nature of being an American, is that every American gets the opportunity to be able to select who they want for president. I have a responsibility to do what I'm called to do by the people of Oklahoma and to be able to do that job very well in the Senate. And so I'm going to focus in as much as I can on my job, regardless of who's in the White House. Now, obviously, there's some folks that would be a better partner in the White House than others, because we've got a lot of big issues to work on, whether it be debt, whether it be ag policy, whether it be trade. There are national security issues. All of those things are extremely important, and we have to get those things done. We just can't talk about it. We've got to actually do it. But you've got to have a partner in the White House to actually get those done. But I'm going to work with whoever the American people put in there, because it's their choice, not mine.